Well, good morning, everyone here this morning, and it's good to be back here again, and see a bunch of familiar faces here, and yeah, happy to be back. I'm actually on a business trip, and it's just yeah, it's good to be here again, and. Had some work got to do in here this weekend. They actually got me. I do the recruiting for New Horizons, and so I had some interviews this weekend with some families that are looking at possibly coming out. And so that's kind of the reason why I came in here. But yeah, this morning I would like to start off by giving a presentation, like, where are we at currently? What's happening out there? Sure, most of you probably get the newsletters. If you don't, let me know, and I will get you signed up for that. But so just kind of a little bit of our some updated photos or whatever of our family. We are loving it out there in Colorado. We spend most, I'd say probably at least 2-3 weekends a month. We're up in the mountain, and so you can't really beat that when we have the Rockies in our back window. So the mountains are calling, and so we must go. And so we enjoy doing that. And thank you all for everyone that's been praying for us. We love receiving. We've gotten several packages in the mail, and just thank everybody for that does that. The letters, the girls have gotten some letters from some in here, and they love opening the getting the mail out of the mailbox and seeing a letter with their name on it. And that just makes their day, and so thank everybody for that. Weston, he's turning into an outdoorsman. He loves the outdoors. He got a new rifle, and that's just his. He loves that thing, and we have a shooting range just north side of town that it's set up in among a canyon, and so you can go up there and shoot all day long and can bother anybody, and so he's doing that. He just got back from a week hike. We have a hike program that we take young boys. We have two sets. It's a 13 to 15 year old, and then a 16 to 18 years old, and we do it here at the beginning of June. We have they kind of do it the camp style, where we have three. There were three chiefs in Weston's group, and they were in charge of the hike, and they leave. Weston's group left on a Friday afternoon and got back the following Saturday, so it was a little over a week trip, and they hiked 40 miles, and went from, I think they started around 7,000 feet, and they were doing some over 12,000 foot climbs. So it was a workout for him. But he got back and he just totally loved it. And so just put a plug out there. This is open to anybody. So if anybody wants to come out, they're more than welcome to. And just a great week for them. They teach them. Each boy has to be a group leader for the day. And so in the morning, they get the map and the compass, and they have to take them to the next campsite. And so it's their decisions throughout the day that affect the whole group. And if they don't follow the compass, if they don't follow their map, then the whole group has to suffer. And so they teach leadership, teach team building skills. And it was a really, really good experience for them. And then we have Chloe, and she's with me here today. And Yeah, she's enjoying her friends and out there. Haley, she's 4, and she's just a bright bundle of sunshine. She just, she's very, very physical. Like she loves hugs. She loves being with me, with her mom, and she's just, just love her. Dawson. He just turned 1 year old and not quite walking yet, but he has he's pushing, got one of those little push toys, and he pushes that thing all over the place. So hoping that he stands by himself, but he won't take that step. And so just, working with him on that. But he's growing and he loves his older brother. Weston can pretty much do anything with him, and we love that he's able to babysit him, take care of him. We're living just outside the park that New Horizons have, and so they have a playground in the back there, and so Weston just can load him up in the wagon and take him back to the park, and he can just be back there with him. So he's helpful with that. So getting into New Horizons as well, we have four branches of the ministry, four main areas. We have the prison chaplaincy program, and I'll be getting into these a little bit more. We have the chaplaincy, the whole prison aspect, and then also the thrift stores. We opened our new thrift store the end of March, and it's been amazing watching the whole process. And we were not able to open when we wanted to, but just seeing God working in all that, and the support that we have from the community is awesome. And just being able to interact with the guests and the new location that we have for our store is just great. Where we were before, it was pretty much our store had to be a destination, and it was kind of off the main road, back in an old strip mall that was kind of going downhill. And where we are now, we're along one of the main streets in Pueblo, and so we have people that just decided to stop in, but it was incredible. I was there the day that they opened, and we opened at 9 o'clock, and by 9:45 we didn't have any carts left. It was completely, we were looking, we were going back in the warehouse trying to find some extra carts just because it was so full, and it continues just growing from there. Then also the Children's Haven, we opened last summer. We opened a daycare center, and we take care of local children there in town where their parents are working. We started that up, and then we also have our child placement agency. It's we work with Fremont County to license and facilitate foster families for Fremont County DHS, and also for our private placements that we would do through from prison. Talking a little bit, with the store there, the top right hand of the screen there is the new thrift store. And it was incredible watching and helping with that project and seeing people come out and help out. There was one fellow from Ohio. He has a masonry business, and they had, where he lived, they had some really cold cold weather, and so he wasn't doing any masonry. And so him and one of his employees came out, and they stayed for about a month and a half, and they hung all the stone and all the brick that we had on the property. They did, and it was just feel very blessed and humbled by all the support that we got for that project. It became quite a bit more in depth than what we were expecting. The city found a bunch of rules that we didn't know we needed to take care of, or that we didn't need to have when we started the project. And so the finished door, if you took that and with what our original plans were, they're not the same building. And so a lot of the stuff we had to do was because of city ordinance. And so it took a lot more time and money than what we were expecting. But it is incredible. I think we're only the project ended up being almost $1.9 million for the entire project. And right now we have a little over $200,000 that we owe yet. And so it's just amazing the input from donors and being able to do that. And the lease where we were before, we were paying $15,000 a month on a lease payment. And so that is nice, being able to know that we're saving, we have that savings already is happening. And then also, there's just some inside shots of the thrift store. Right now we have on New Horizons payroll, including the VS workers, we have almost 110 people on payroll now. And so it is growing quite rapidly. And it's amazing being able to be a part of it and seeing what God is doing and how he's growing it out there. What the core of our ministry is, people for many years, they know New Horizons as the prison baby ministry. And so that still is our core, and that's what we're about. But we have many different layers now, but at the core of it still is our child care. And currently right now we have 12 babies in our care. And just in my interactions and being able to work with their mothers, it's great being able to interact with these kids and seeing them grow. We had a space where we didn't have a lot of children, and then all of a sudden we got a bunch at one time. And so we have the picture on the left, it's Merle and Lil Miller family. He's holding Josiah, and Josiah is just turned 3. And so he's 3 years old, but all the rest of them are a year or younger. The youngest we have is, I think, just 6 months old now. And so we have quite a few young children, and watching, I thought it's bad enough having one newborn in the house or one baby in the house, but the house on the right, they have 5. And just watching them going through that process as each girl would get her baby, and as how they would learn to adapt, and seeing how the children adapt to living in a house with other babies was very interesting. Then we also have some foster families that do our private placements. And so we're really thankful for them that they can do that as well. And just here's our latest our latest baby. She came to us on March 15th, and she is just a bundle of joy. She's very very interactive and very very happy, and her mom is actually getting out here at the beginning of July, so it looks like she'll probably be going back sometime soon. And so pray for her and her mom. Her mom's name is Stacy, and her mom does have a very good support group, and so we are feeling very optimistic about it. Just pray for her. Then several other of the children in our care, and we have one of the girls in the office does photography as well, and so every several months she does photo shoots with all the children, and then we are able then to take those pictures and send them into prison to the moms in prison, so they have some keepsakes as well. We also do every week on Wednesdays, we go up, take the children up to the prison to visit their moms. And that is, I go up about every 6 weeks or so just to go along, just to see how things are going. And that's a very, very fun time with that. Our foster families, we love our foster families. They do a lot for us, and we try to make their lives as easy as we can, as they're trying to raise some of them have their own children, and so as they're trying to raise their children and then also care for others, we have a support system for them. And we do the placement agency does a couple things throughout the year just to take some of that burden off of all the visits. There's one right now that was just placed 2 weeks ago with one of our families that they're doing a visit every day, and so that really wears on the family. So we try to have what we call floater nannies, so that they can come into the house and care for the children, or watch the other children while the mom or the dad has to take this child to visits. Now our daycare, like I said, we opened it up here in March of, or actually it was July of last year when we got that opened up. And currently we have six children. We're doing in-home healthcare, in-home daycare, and there's a lot less licensing and regulation that happens with that. And so we can put up to six children in each home. And so we're currently working on doing opening our second home. That way we can expand. We actually have, last week I heard that we have 14 children on our waiting list of parents that want to put their children into our daycare. And so we're trying to get our second one up and running so that we can, reach out and work that way. And this was actually started because of vision of some of our VS staff. And that was incredible that they had, we want people to dream. We want them to say, what if, what could I do? And we like them to think outside the box, like to have creative thinking. And so this was actually started because of the dream of two of the girls on the staff. And so we're really excited about that and to see where God's going to take this. Then another huge part of the ministry is our prison ministry. Currently we have three chaplains, and we have another chaplain in, we have a woman chaplain, or she's apprentice right now. We're hoping to get her approved here soon so she can go in full time to our women's prison. And Matt Overhaupt is our prison ministry director. And he comes to us from South Carolina. He was working with the chaplaincy program in South Carolina for about 8 years. And he comes, and he's now running our program He has a very good relationship with the wardens, and every time the one of them sees him, they say, you got a chaplain for me yet? You got someone for me?" And he's like, "We're working on it." And so we have one couple coming out in the beginning of July, and then he's looking. He wants to get a couple single guys to go into the chaplaincy program. And I just talked to him. It was last week, and he has one young fellow that he's talking with about coming out, and he asked for a 3-year commitment for that, and it's because you're an apprentice for 1 year, and then he'd like to have like 2 years of service after that. And so in Fremont County, we are the Colorado's prison central. In Fremont County, we have 13 prisons with a little over 9,000 inmates. And we have eight state prisons and one county jail. And then we also have four federal prisons as well, up to we have a supermax federal, and that one we're not allowed to go in because of the profile, the high profile criminals that they have in there. There's no interaction with civilians, and so we don't even know what's behind them walls. We know some of the people that are in there, but we can't get there. But Matt is working at trying to get into the other three. He just visited them about a month ago and came back to the meeting and said there's some doors opening there, and he was really excited about that. Then our reintegration program, this is what I work with, and we have, like I said, we had 12 women in our program. The one woman, we just did a reunification at the beginning of June here. And so we're phasing out of her being an active part in her life, but as they allow us, we stay connected with them. And we just had one of our moms that we interacted with, or that we worked with 2 years ago. She just moved back to Canyon, and we're in the process of training her and teaching her to become actually a mentor for our moms. She went for her first time back to prison. It was the last Wednesday in May. She went along in to talk to the moms, and this was the first time in a little over 3 years that she was back into prison. And so we were a little concerned how her reaction was going to be, when the first gate opened, when you walk into the lobby, get processed, and then they take you back into the secure areas, and when the first gate clanked, she freaked a little bit, but she was able to pull it together and had a real good meeting with the ladies. And so we're going to be doing some training with her. She still has a lot of journey to go, but we feel she's really... this is something that she wants, and so she's working hard at it, and so we're excited to see where that's going to go. Malin and Anna, they are our the supervisor couple for the reintegration team. They're the ones, they go in every Wednesday, have the Bible study with the moms prior to visit happening, and they've been doing this part time, and they just came on during the process of transferring full time over into it. And so they'll be spending 2 full days in Denver prison, working with the moms, doing mentoring, having one-on-ones, doing some focused counseling and intentional counseling in different areas that they need to, and getting them ready to come out into an aftercare program. And then what my role in reintegration, what I'm doing, I'm working at building our own program. Right now, we don't really have any options for the moms when they come out of prison. And so I'm working with I work with the Department of Corrections and also the parole board, and getting to know them. And it's really neat when you can walk into the prison and go into the offices now, and they know my name, and they know who I am and why I'm there. And that's a real good, we really like that, because that we got their ear. We are able to go in there, have a good relationship with them, and they tell us, you write the program and we'll sign it off. And so we have very good favor with Colorado Corrections, and we're really blessed for that, and want to do what we can to foster that and to be able to do with what I'm working on. I have to rewrite. I'm in the process of rewriting our whole reintegration program, and they said, we don't want to be a part of it. You just write it up and bring us the finished product. And so that's pretty neat for that. When we get back, July 5th, me and another fella, well, Mela and I, are going into the parole headquarters and having a brainstorming meeting with all the head of parole. And they want us to bring childcare to Denver. And that, when they told us that, it was just like, we never in our dreams did we ever think that we'd be able to do this. And so we're really excited about the possibilities. What it would involve is coming and having childcare rooms in the parole offices. When people are in parole, they have a lot of requirements that they need to do for parole. So they have a lot of classes. They do have different, when they have to come in to fill their paperwork out, when they have their checkups. And so these people are, a lot of them are saying, well, I can't find daycare. I can't find childcare. And so they're rescheduling or missing appointments. And so it's pulling, extending their parole time, and so the parole officers are being overworked. They're having to put a lot more time in, and so it's stretching them thin. And so they're wanting to be able to have something, so when people come to parole to the office, they have a good place for the kids to go. And so it's going to be like the children won't be there all day. It'll be coming in for a couple hours, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, where they're coming in. And so, yes, we're excited about that, because it's giving us an opportunity with a whole nother population that we had no point of contact prior. And so we're anxious to see what's going to happen with that, and where that all goes. And then for the RBS opportunities, with the thrift store, our daycare and childcare, we're always taking applications. We're talking with our thrift store director. We have 22 positions right now for VS, and he said if you give me 40, nobody would be sitting around with nothing to do. So we're in the process of trying to see what does it look like expanding our VS program, and because our dorms are maxed out, so we'd have to either buy or build new ones, and what all that involves. And so we're in the process this coming year here. We're going to be doing a lot of visioning and seeing what does God have for the future of New Horizons. What does he want? There's a lot of good things that we can do, but what's the best thing? How are we going to be able to most effectively to reach out? And so different ways that you can support us. Number one is pray for us. And the longer that I've been out there, the more that I'm seeing how prayer and our words, how much weight our words carry, and how much speaking life into somebody or praying for somebody and actually seeing things happen and seeing God work in ways that is just simply amazing, that how he's able to change the hearts of people that, yeah, we've had recently, we had two atheists, confirmed and outspoken atheists in prison, come to know the Lord. And just because of Matt's continual prayer for them and for bringing them, bringing their names to us and just praying that God would work on their lives. And, the one fellow, when he came into prison, or when he came into the chaplain's office, he said, told Matt, you can't pray for me. It was the first time he was in there, Matt prayed for him before he left. Second time he came in, he told Matt, you can't pray for me. It messed my week up. Matt's like, okay, I won't pray for you. And then the third time he came in, he told Matt, you have to pray for me because I was really messed up when I left last time. And so just being able to see, seeing that happen and being able to see the spiritual warfare that goes on and being able to be a part of that just really, really has done something, strengthened in our family and really made us have to pull together. Because there's been times that when this past winter, there was a couple, about a month, February was really hard in our marriage between my wife and I, and we were struggling with things that it was like was none issues before, and things would come up and just different feelings and misunderstandings and it was like, what is going on? And it got to the point where I was like, are we even supposed to be out here? I mean, if I can't keep my marriage together, if I can't keep my, my relationships with my family, how am I supposed to lead out in the ministry? And so I went and sat down with Arlen and told him everything that's going on, and I got done, and he starts chuckling, and he said, "I wonder when that was." "I've been wondering when that's going to happen to you," and. Here it's, you know, it's, we're in a battle, and Satan is trying to do anything he can to discourage us, to get us to stop what we're doing. And so the battle is real, and we really, really appreciate your prayers, and we need your prayers to be able to do what we're doing out there. Next is visit us. We have, yeah, this time of year is very busy with people coming through, and we see people pretty much year-round have coming out through. And so if you're ever in the Colorado area, stop in. And we'd love to see you guys. And Friday, I just got a text from Dean. Because they're on they're doing a Western trip or something. And so Dean and the family, Dean and Ann and their family are going to be stopping in, I guess, Tuesday evening at our place there. So looking forward to that. And then let's give financially. Right now, the stores are providing almost half of our operating expense. And so we are really thankful and really, really love that. But it's because of your support that we can do what we're doing. And so if God puts it on your heart to give it something, we really appreciate that. So, yeah, hope that give you a little bit of an idea, give you a little glimpse into what we're doing. And God is working, and it's exciting to be a part of it and to be able to see God moving and working out there. And just for encouragement for you guys, whatever God is calling you into doing, just throw yourself into it, and God will reward you for you giving to Him, and He's not he's not a tight giver. you give into God, and he just dumps it back out on you. And it's been incredible, just even in our own lives, as we're working out there, as we're facing different things, just seeing God's provision and seeing God come through in ways that it had to be God. So there's no way that this can be coincidence or that it just happened. It was definitely the hand of God working. And so we love with that. And so in the time I got left here this morning, I'd like to share with you a little bit of my journey, like where am I, something that I've been dealing with in my life, and I've been working with some of the men in prison. That's another thing we also do for us that aren't actively involved in the prison ministry. We had different ways to serve. We do Sunday morning services in three different prisons, the men's prisons, and so. Every Sunday, the one prison we do only once a month, but the other two prisons are almost every week. We're in there on a Sunday morning. And then we also do Friday night Bible studies with the guys. And so this is something that I'm processing with them and processing with myself. And I just wanted to share with you all this morning. And that is the blessing of brokenness. And I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of brokenness. If you think of brokenness is a good thing or not. But looking at it from, you know, serving God out of our brokenness. And coming to God, not having it all together. And allowing Him to take us and use us. Out of our brokenness, we live in a broken world. There's brokenness all around us, and brokenness can do one of two things for us. It can either cause us to give into depression or give into to locking up our heart, growing cold, or it can actually drive us to God, and our brokenness can bring us to God and realize His fullness. And so, an illustration for this morning that I think goes really good with this is a wild stallion. And the wild stallion is an iconic figure. You think of that in the West, and we actually still have up in Wyoming. There's still herds, and I'm sure different places, but I know some over in Wyoming have seen these herds of wild horses, and they look really, really neat. They're going across the prairie, and but they're not very useful. They look great, but they're not really any good to anybody, and they can actually really mess with a rancher's property, and they can be a nuisance animal. But so when the tamer or the farmer, when he gets a stallion, gets a wild horse, and puts it in his corral. The horse, it doesn't mind being fed. It actually probably makes it easier for him. He doesn't have to worry about finding his food, and he's getting the oats. He's getting the grain, getting watered. You know, he could even put him in a barn. He doesn't mind that. You can keep him off the rain, keep him out of the snow, and but you don't get on its back. You don't get near it. And you know, I feel that's kind of how we as humans are sometimes. We don't mind. We love the blessings. We love all this good stuff that God gives us. But you don't get on my back. You don't make me do something that gets me uncomfortable. But that horse, he needs to submit to his trainer. And when the trainer starts putting the saddle on, putting the bridle on, starts working with that horse, the horse is watching some of that happen. They can be really violent. They can be they'll throw the rider off, and they'll get very, very agitated. But eventually, as the trainer works with this horse, he becomes, we call, broke. We say that the horse has been saddle busted. The horse is broken. So what changed with the horse? You don't really look at the horse. You don't look at the horse as being a wimp or losing his strength, losing his ability to run. But the horse is broken. The horse has given his will over to his master. And actually, the horse is a lot more valuable now than what he was prior. You can do a lot more with a broken horse than you can with a wild horse. And so that's kind of the idea that I want to go with here this morning, is being broken before God and allowing his will to override our will. So looking at brokenness as a gift from God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 7 says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up onto a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So just looking at this, as you know, brokenness, God is calling us to a life of brokenness. God is calling us to a life of humbleness, not needing to climb to the highest rung in life, allowing ourselves to be wherever God has placed us, wherever God is calling us, that we're willing to be, to live in a broken state before God. Brokenness also shows our dependency on God. You know, in today, we're all about our independence. You look at people are wanting to, do things my way, do things on my own. We tend to become islands, not allowing people to get to us, not allowing people to speak into our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7-11 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." You know, God allows things to come into our lives to show our dependency on him. You know, it says, you know, we're hard-pressed. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. But it's because of the power of Christ living in us, the power that God has put in us, that we're able to, that these things don't destroy us. And so God is calling us to this life of humbleness and brokenness before him, because... And then also, it says there, it says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. But we're not saying, you know, I've accomplished this, I can do this, I've done this. But it's, you know, it's Christ living in me. He's given me the ability. It's the power of God. It's seeing things in our lives that are happening that we can't explain. It's things that are happening that it's more than what I can do. That my life has more meaning. My life has more meaning than about me. that my life is not about about myself, but because humanly speaking, we would be, this would be reversed. We would be getting, well, we would be in despair. We would be feeling forsaken. We would feel destroyed if we didn't have the power of Christ living inside of us. But brokenness is a choice. We can choose to be broken, or we don't have to. God has given us that choice. But then in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus says, have you ever read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. So it's an act of our will. It's a choice that we have to make. You know, am I going to fall on Christ? Am I going to depend on Christ? If we fall on that stone, if we fall on that cornerstone, it's going to stand. It's going to stay there. And we can build. We can build our life off of that cornerstone. And says he'll be broken. We make that choice to fall upon Christ and be broken and allow him to fill our lives. But if we stay proud, if we stay staying that I can do this, I can take care of this, says it's gonna fall on that person and grind him into powder. Oh, another place, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so God is showing, I think God's doing and actively be against the proud. And he's going to be against them, but those that come to him in brokenness, God can work with that. Then also, God can only use us as we are willing to be broken. We can become broken to various degrees. John chapter 12. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now, looking at that kernel of grain, as you plant it, and if that kernel is not willing to die to itself, if it's not willing to be broken, it's good for nobody. It's good for nothing. But as that kernel dies, there's a new life that comes within it. And it grows up and gives food, gives a lot more food than what it is in itself. And it's not because of that kernel. Like, then you take apart a kernel of corn. You look at that. You can't see those 2 ears of corn in that little kernel. But it's because of what comes into that kernel as it dies. There's moisture and nutrition from the ground that fills that and raises it and brings it into that tall stalk and putting ears. I remember when I used to work over at Automatic Farm Systems over there behind Lebanon, one of the fields next to us. They'd always raise corn, and the 1 year where they had a really, right, it was perfect weather. We had good warmth, or good sunshine, a lot of rain, and when they went to go cut, they would chop that field, and the height when it was in its peak season there, we were measuring corn stalks almost 14 feet tall. And see, their ears are stalks that had three full 13-inch cobs on it. And it just all came out of one kernel. And that can be in our life. we can become giants if we die to ourselves. Luke 22:19 says, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as you think of grain as it's broken down, ground into flour, put into bread, it becomes something new. And Jesus is saying here, this is me. This is a symbol of what my life is. And his life was broken and gave to us that we would be able to have, that it would give life to us. And God's calling that for us as Christians today. Are we willing to be broken out that we can use, God can use us in our brokenness, and we can give life and we can bring life to those around us? And so, giving our suffering for another person's benefit. That bread, as it's breaking, doesn't look pretty anymore. It's not that perfect loaf of bread that just comes out of the oven, but you're breaking that, and out of that is coming, giving life to others. Thinking yet of the butterfly and its cocoon, the butterfly has to come out of the cocoon to be beautiful. The caterpillars, there's a lot of people that don't like caterpillars, and that caterpillar is made for something more. It's made for something different, but it has to go through a process. It has to go through the entire process of being a caterpillar, going into the cocoon and dying inside that cocoon and turning into a butterfly. But it doesn't stop there. It has to come out of the cocoon. That cocoon has to be broken. And that picture of that cocoon, that doesn't look too bad. And inside there, he's fairly safe. He doesn't have, there's not a lot. Like, they'll spend the whole winter inside there and be fine. And a lot of people today, and even my own life, we want to stay in our safe environment. We want to stay in our cocoon. And so we'll polish that thing up. We'll make it look pretty. We'll rearrange everything inside it so we're as comfortable as we can be. But that's not our destination. We have to come out and break out of our cocoon so that we can become the beautiful creatures that God has designed us to be. And there were some scientists that were doing a study on watching butterflies as they come out. And for a butterfly to be healthy, it had to go through that whole process of breaking out of the cocoon to build its strength up to be able to fly. It had to struggle. And several of them would cut open and just bring the butterfly out, and that butterfly would never fly. And it would die soon after, because it didn't have to work for the ability to come out. But those that were able to, that they left, do the whole process of coming out, those butterflies were able to fly around and show the beautiful, the different colors. And so be okay with the process. Allow yourself to go through that process of having the struggle, of having to be broken, so that you can be what God has designed you to be. One more question. What if? Here I'd like for you to, dream a little bit, or think a little bit here. What if? What if I brought my brokenness to Christ, pressing my wounds into His? And he says, by His stripes we are healed. What if we were able to bring that all to Christ? What if my brokenness is where communion is most meaningful? What if the abundance of communion is in the brokenness of suffering? What if where we find the deepest intimacy with the Father is in our suffering? Could my brokenness be the healing for those around me? You know, Jesus' body was broken and given for us. His physical body is not here anymore. And today, we're the only physical presentation of representation of Christ's body. Will you, will I, are we willing to be broken to give our lives to benefit the hungry and those around us? As we engage in our brokenness, we open our hearts to forgiveness, to acceptance, to growth, and ultimately to renewed strength and healing. We may discover when it happens that all the pieces didn't get put to get back together in the same way they were before. Some pieces may be missing, others may have been added. Brokenness changes us, but when we approach it in the right way, the change can be for the better. As people who have experienced both brokenness and healing, we gain a greater capacity to care for others by entering their world and sharing their grief. In doing so, we discover hope and healing welling up both for them and for us. We come to know that the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. So, again, you know, we need to experience the process. We need to go through the process to experience the blessing. And for us to be able to live in what God has designed for us, there's a journey we all have to take. And so I just want to bless you guys as you go on your journey, that you open yourself up to God and say, whatever, God, whatever you have me to do. And living life with open hands. And coming to God to where, you know, what I have is yours. Everything I have is because of you, and I want to in turn give and allow God to use. So that's what I have to share this morning, and let's pray. Holy God, we come before you this morning, God, and as we come to you, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the love that you have given to us. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have sent to work in our lives. God, I pray as we live our lives, Lord, may we have that realization of you, that we allow our lives to be such that we can't explain it, that the only explanation is because of you. And Lord, I pray for each one here in the building here this morning. God, I just pray that we would allow ourselves to be broken and poured out, to be that living sacrifice. We would put ourselves on the altar and have our lives being a sweet smell to you. God, I just pray you bless each one here in the various things that they're involved with. God, I just pray that they would be able to show your beauty and show your strength in their lives to those around them. God, I just thank you for this time we were able to be together, and just pray you'd go with the rest of the service here. In your name we pray. Amen.